Amen. Thank you so much. And Brad's going to help me remember that we need to get Bob and Esther a gift, and our friends back in here who were with us today. We'll make sure we get them a gift. And thank you for being here. I apologize. My senior memory kicked out one or the other there. But I thank you for being here today. Open your Bibles, if you will. You open your Bibles to Psalms 37, and I'll be there in just a minute. I'm going to read another verse before that, though. But I asked them about words of wisdom, and I've had a lot over the years. I don't have much to share with anybody, but I've had a lot of senior folk who've given me a lot of wisdom, a lot of wisdom. Mama said, you'll never have anything if you spend more than you make. Think about that. You'll never have anything if you spend more than you make. And so that's good advice, isn't it? I had fellow not so long ago told me senior wisdom, eat every chance you get, go to the bathroom every chance you get. That's good advice for seniors. Amen. Brother Jesse Norris, an old preacher friend of mine, told me years ago, keep all of your friends. You'll need them all before it's over with. That's good advice. Man must show himself to be friendly if he's going to have friends. But thank God for your friends and for my friends. We have a lot of them. But there's some things that you learn by experience. That didn't mean that young people can't have wisdom. Brother Avery Rogers told me one time that the old-time Puritans, when they were looking for spiritual maturity, in a young man, they looked for wisdom. In an older man, they looked for zeal, because the power of God gives him zeal and the power of God gives wisdom to a younger man. So young people can have wisdom, but there's a lot of things that you just learn by experience, and you learn from people that's got some age on them. I want to read to you while you hold Psalms 37. I'm going to read in Proverbs chapter number 20, and I'll read just one verse, verse 29. The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is their gray hair. So all you fellas that's kind of got charcoal blonde like I've got, that means that you're beautiful. Amen. Praise God. And for all of you who are bald, bald is beautiful too. Say amen right there. Amen. You have Psalms 37. I preached from this psalm some time ago and shared some things with you on a Wednesday evening. And I want to come back to Psalms 37. And I want to preach to you for just a few minutes on some things that I've learned from gray hair. And I'm going to do it from what David has to say here. My good friend, Brother Roy Rigdon, and I were talking on yesterday and about Senior Saints Sunday and all. And I was telling about this passage of Scripture, and then he was sharing with me some things. As I began to look through this passage of Scripture the Lord had laid on my heart, I began to see wisdom that David had. I want to read one verse, and then I'm gonna slip back a little bit and then look at another passage of Scripture here. But I want to look in this Psalms 37 at the whole psalm this morning. I'll do it really quickly, and it won't take me so very long to do it. But David says in this psalm, he makes this statement, I have been young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. But then couched in all of that wonderful wisdom, he's never seen the saints of God forsaken, never seen their seed begging bread. We pull out of the life of Paul as an old man. He's an old man when the Holy Ghost of God used him to write this. And I want to read a good bit of this to you this morning, but I want to begin down at verse number 16 and then have a brief word of prayer. Look at verse 16. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of the wicked. Would you bow with me for prayer? Father, I want to thank you for our dear senior saints that were here on the platform this morning and those that were in their place in the auditorium and those who were not able to be here. And our Father, my mind goes back through all these 25 years that you've let me be here of so many of the dear saints of God who were a blessing to me, who loved this ministry, loved this church, loved this people, and they loved their pastor and prayed for me and Regina, that, Lord, they are now in heaven. And, Lord, I'm thankful that all of these who were with us today have added to my life and ministry in so many wonderful ways. Our Father, I pray you'd help all of us and all of the generations behind us to understand that these people who stand in the house of God today have much to say by their life and by their testimony. I pray, God, we should benefit, that you'd help us to gain wisdom from those who have the gray hair, who for all these years have walked by faith and trusted you, who've been through good times and bad times, and they've proven every promise in this Bible to be true. And some, our Father, are great singers, and some are great Bible teachers, and many, Lord, are wonderful, faithful saints of God that don't say much in front of people, but their heart and their life is full of godliness and full of wisdom. I pray, our Father, you'd help us to have enough wisdom to learn from them and to be blessed as they've been blessed. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I do want to get through this morning, so we'll make sure we have time to get the meals delivered. But what I want to do is I'm going to go through this psalm this morning just really briefly and touch a few things that I've learned from gray hair. Look back at verse number 10. And he said, "For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be." But what caught my attention as I read through this psalm was this, yet a little while. Time really does fly. And you can ask any of these people that were up here this morning, it seems like yesterday that they were children. When I was telling that little silly thing about what Mama said, I remember that. I remember when the water don't get quite as warm as I thought it ought to, but Mama thought I needed a bath anyhow. And so I'd like for it to sit there as long as it could. I remember climbing up my Uncle Carson's apple tree, and Brother Corbett brings me some of those old-time apples. I can stand here right now and remember climbing up that apple tree and sitting there. And during the summertime, I never wore shoes. And most of the time, I just had cutoffs on, no shirt. And I remember climbing up that apple tree and sitting there, and I had borrowed Mama's salt shaker. And I'd sit in that apple tree and eat that apple. I can taste it right now. I can feel the juice rolling. And you know what it seems like? It was yesterday, not long ago. In just a little while, James was right when he said, "What is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little while, and then it vanisheth away." Our lives are short. You learn from gray hair. They'll tell you it was yesterday that they were riding a scooter or a tricycle. Yesterday, they were learning to drive. Yesterday, they were getting married. Yesterday, they were starting their first job. Yesterday, they were happy and rejoicing over their first child. Yesterday, that they saw their grandchildren. It just seems like yesterday. Time really does fly. And that's why the Bible said we ought to redeem the time. Look down at another one, if you will, please, at verse number 16. I've just read to you. And notice what it says in verse 16. "A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many." And from that I learned this, that family is more valuable than treasures. A little that a man has. You don't have to have a lot. You don't have to have a lot. Most all of these people who appear, you would be, it seemed ridiculous to them, to you what they worked for when they were growing up. I went to work in a cotton mill full time, 40 hours, my senior year of high school. I made 75 cents an hour for 40 hours a week, 75 cents an hour. And then I remember when they raised the minimum wage and I had got a little bit of a raise, so I made $1.25 an hour, 40 hours a week. And what some of those people before that, and I can remember when you could buy a Pepsi-Cola and two hot dogs all the way full dressed with onions for 25 cents. Get two hot dogs and a cup of Coke. But you know what I found over the years? My little girl, Regina and I's first daughter, got sick with leukemia. And they had told us it was terminal. There's no cure for leukemia. My brother was a colonel in the Army, and he told me, he said, "Billy, I'll fly her anywhere in the world. We'll pay for it to get her some help." I went back to Duke University excited, just a kid really. And I told those doctors, my brother said he'd pay for it to go anywhere in the world. And they said, "Billy, all the money in the world wouldn't do you any good now." I'm not saying there's no hope. As long as she's alive, there's hope. But right now there's no cure. If there was a cure anywhere in the world, we'd know about it here at Duke Hospital. And from that time on, God really began to deal with my heart about what's really important in life. Your family is a lot more important than your fortune. You can work all these hours and do all these things and neglect your family, neglect your children. But I'm going to tell you, your family is what's the most important thing in your life. And if you'd ask these people up here, I can tell you what they are, what they think, what are their treasures now? Their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren. That's their treasure. That's what their heart's at. That's, and if they're like us, that's where their money's at. Amen. But you thank God for them. From gray hair, I've learned that family is more important than treasures. Look in verse 17 and listen to what he said. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. Look over at verse 27. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. You know, from this I learned from David that it pays to serve the Lord. Those who follow after sin have a day coming, a judgment day. There is a wage to sin. But if you'll live for God, He'll bless you to take care of you. And it pays to serve God. You may not have some things that other people have, but you'll have all that you need and you'll have joy. Live for God. And these people will tell you that's the most important thing in the world. You and I, verse 18, look at verse 18. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. What a blessing to know that what we have here and what God does for us here and what we have invested in His cause and in serving the Lord will last forever. And we get to live forever. We have a retirement plan, like somebody said, that's out of this world. My dear friend, you can have that, but you have to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 19. They shall not be ashamed in an evil time, and in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. These friends up here would tell you one thing. They've seen good times. They've seen bad times. They've been through hurricanes, Hazel and all those and days gone by and all the hurricanes and all the storms. They've been through trials of cancer and all other types of things. But they'll tell you right now that God will take care of you in evil times and that He can satisfy your soul. He can give you a peace of God that passes all understanding. The problem is that so many people today, they have this and that and the other, but they have no satisfaction. They're not satisfied. When we did Mr. Paul's funeral and his daughter Ruth had written that poem or edited that poem about a simple man. That kind of summed up their life. Simple. And I love that. You're living here for a short time. God will provide everything you need. Don't get caught up in the rat race. Don't just waste your time on all those things. It's people, your family, and loving God and serving God that's going to last forever. And God will satisfy you. He'll give you what you need and bless you. And notice something else on down through here. I notice in verse 21, and I'll just touch on a few of these. The wicked barreth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. They tell you this, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And you cannot outgive the Lord. I've proven that. All of you believe that, raise your hand. I've proven it over and over again. You cannot outgive the Lord. Some time ago, I won't go into that. But anyhow, God's good, isn't He? You cannot outgive the Lord. If you'll mind God, if you obey Him, but the righteous man, those who love the Lord, they're not hoarders. They're not covetous. They have an open heart. They show mercy and they giveth. And they've learned this wonderful lesson. You can't outgive the Lord. And I tell all of you young people, don't have a closed fist. Share, be a blessing to people. People you know, people around you, the cause of Christ and all those things. What a blessing it is. Notice verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. They tell you this, God's been with us through all we've gone through, and he leads us. And somebody said this morning, one day at a time, it's one step at a time. They've learned this lesson from, and we can learn from those with gray hair, that He orders our steps. You may not know exactly where you're going all the time, but if you're going with the Lord, it's a good way to go. He said, we delight in His way. We've learned just to enjoy the blessings of God and what He does for us. He orders our steps, and what a blessing that is that He would do that for us all the time. Look at verse 24. That doesn't mean they had ever had problems. They've all had problems. Verse 24, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Have they had problems? Yes. Have they failed personally? Many of them. I have. Have they done things that maybe shouldn't have done over the years? Yes, but God's a good God. Have they had problems and difficulties? Yes. But the Bible says that that good man, that man, righteous man, that man that loves the Lord, he will fall though he fall. He will not utterly be cast down. In other words, we may stumble and fall, but God will hold us up with His right hand. Here's the verse, verse 25. I have been young, and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. And here's what I learned from gray hair. God won't ever leave you. I'm telling you, He won't ever leave you. Some of you in here have had the great tragedy of a husband or wife going off and leaving you. Some of you, your children, you've raised them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and yet they've turned their back on all that you believe, and they've left you. Sometimes friends leave us. But I can tell you what they'll tell you beyond any shadow of a doubt. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, and He meant it. He'll stay with you. He'll be with you. He's never seen the righteous forsaken. God's going to be with His people. He's going to take care of them and bless them. What a blessing to know that and feel that He's always with us. Look at again at that verse, and He said, I've never seen the right. I've been young and I've been old. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken or seed begging bread. They can tell you this, God will meet your need. It may not be always what you pray about, may not be always what you want. But I'm going to tell you right now, it's a blessing. This runs through my mind once again. Regina and I told her this morning, we was pulling up in the churchyard, and I told her how pretty she was, GP, he'd get me in more trouble than anybody ever seen. He'd come down here every Sunday morning. He said, Miss Regina, you sure are looking pretty. I know Billy's told you that over 100 times already. And she said, no, he ain't told me yet, GP. And so he made sure he did it every Sunday, every service, every time he saw her. And he kept me in trouble all the time. And so now, used to when she's going to Sunday school back here, when I had class, every Sunday we'd put her out. When she's getting out, I say, you sure are mighty pretty. She said, thank you, GP. She ain't forgot it. She hadn't forgot it. But you know what? God's good to us. And He'll meet all of our needs. He'll meet every need. I remember when we were in school up in Chattanooga, Tennessee, I had gone up the back alley there and picked up some bottles and went and sold bottles and got a little bit of money. Regina, that night, she fried some fatback meat and cooked some dried beans, made some biscuits. I'm going to tell you, it's one of the best meals I've ever had in my life. I can remember it right now. It was such a blessing. And the kids were there, and I gave them both of them a piece of Bazooka bubble gum, the two older ones, Melissa and Charles. And they were tickled to death with a piece of bubble gum. They don't work too much nowadays, but it was good then. But, you know, I told Regina right then, I said, you know what? When I was growing up, Mama cooked dried beans and fatback all the time. I thought she just did it because it was good. We were poor, and I never knew it. Satisfied. You don't have to have all the other thing. But He said He'll meet our needs. And I've learned that from gray hair. There's a lot of things more important than money and things. It's your family and loving them. And God will give you what you need. And you learn to be content with what things you have, the Bible says, and love Him and praise Him and thank Him for everything you have. I've learned from this passage of Scripture. I'm through. Learn from this passage of Scripture in verse number 14. That He will save you in a time of trouble. He'll come to your rescue. And nobody in this building this morning is in any more trouble than a lost person without Christ. He'll save you. He'll come to your aid. As a matter of fact, here's how the Bible says it. It said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Often I've illustrated it like you're down here at the beach and somebody get caught in a riptide and it pulls them under and they pop up and they call for help and they go down again. They pop up and they call for help. And up on that lifeguard stand, that lifeguard grabs that little float thing he's got, jumps off that stand, runs across the beach, runs around 150 people till he gets to the water edge, dives in the water, swims by dozens of people. And he only goes to one person. He goes to the one who called for help. And this morning, the Holy Ghost of God may speak to your heart and you understand you're in trouble because you're lost and alienated from God. But these people will tell you right now, He meant what He said. If you call on Him, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you can approach Him and He answers prayer. But especially for those who are lost, you can call on Him and thank God. Look at verse number 39 in this passage of Scripture. And I'll just read that quickly. And it says, But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. Nobody can save you but Him. Nobody can give you everlasting life. And all these folk up here tell you, you can't earn it. You don't deserve it, but it's a free gift. And salvation is of the Lord. It's all Him. You come to Him and He'll save you by grace and give you everlasting peace. You can trust Him. In verse number 40, you can trust Him with all of your heart. And then look at verse 37. Mark the perfect man. That means mature man. That means a gray-headed man. Behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. I'm thankful for our dear saints who were standing up here. And I mentioned earlier that since I've been here 25 years, I've been stood by the graveside and by the casket here and across the road of so many of my wonderful friends who love the Lord. In 25 years, I've never been by their bedside or been anywhere close when they died, that they didn't die in peace. Ms. Mary Ann Strebel for years ran CD or cassettes for us. And they called me one day. I don't know if it was Terry or Perry or might have been one of her family. But I came running over and she's sitting on the couch and I sat down right beside her. And I could tell she's in bad shape, but she was sitting up. And she said something to me and I said something to her. And that time the rescue squad was there. They got her and they took her out. She kind of passed out. She never regained consciousness. I went to the hospital in Smithfield. I don't know if it was exact shortly after that or that night or when it was, but somehow it worked out that I was standing right by her bed. I don't remember any of the family being there. They might have been there. It might have been a waiting room. They might have just let me go in because I was a preacher. I don't know. But I stood there, and just like on television, I watched it. Ms. Mary Ann was laying there, and I had my hand on her hand and praying and quoting scriptures, and I watched her vital signs. And all of a sudden, it got shorter and shorter and shorter. And then it was a flat line. She had no struggle. She had no fight. She died in peace. I'm going to tell you something. To leave this world in peace is worth something. But you'll not do that unless you know the Lord. Unless you know the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives you that peace of God that passes all understanding. He'll give you that new grace when it's your time to die. He'll give you that grace. I've never seen a saint of God from Ricky Pope recently and others who didn't leave here with a perfect peace in their heart. I've seen them die and a smile come over their face as their spirit left their body. It's amazing to see a saint of God leave this world. The Bible said, precious in the eyes of the Lord, the death of His saints. And they'll leave out of here in peace. And they'll tell you the greatest treasure you'll have when you cross the river is the peace of God because the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, lives in your heart. Would you bow your heads for prayer right now? Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for our friends in Christ, for those who may not know the Lord that are here today. I pray for them. For friends in the radio audience and the media audience, I pray, God, that if they don't know Christ, they don't know the peace of God that passes all understanding, that God, that You'd save them right now. While we have our heads bowed and eyes are closed, for our friends in the media audience and in this building, these folk who were standing up here a while ago who knew the Lord, they tell you one thing. They can tell you exactly how they got saved. It may be different circumstances, it might be a different place, everything, but every one of them got saved the same way. They believed in their heart and they called on the name of the Lord and received Him as their Savior. And right now you can do that in this building, in the media audience, anywhere you are. He said, if you'll come to Me, I'll in no wise cast you out. Will you call on Him now? Would you receive Him right now? Brad's going to sing one verse of a song. And whatever God lays on His heart, just one verse. But if you're in the building and you've never been saved and you want to be saved, you can call in right where you are. If you want to come to this altar, if you feel God, Holy Ghost leading you to this altar, there'll be somebody to help you and pray with you. I don't know what your need is. Let's stand together. But I want you to obey Christ. I want you to be obedient. And I want to thank every one of our senior saints that were here today. And I want to tell everyone in the media audience how much we love you. What a blessing you have been in my life. And I'm looking forward to God just continue to bless us and good days of fellowship ahead. You have so much to share and so much to give. Your wisdom, your prayer life, and just being a witness for Jesus. I want to thank you that you've got many days of love, of service to love and demonstrate the love of Christ. And I'm glad that the Lord's put you here. Heavenly Father, I pray right now that men and women, boys and girls, will obey the Lord. I pray, God, that if you're drawing them by your grace, I pray you'd save them for Jesus' sake. I pray by faith they'd step out, or by faith they'd receive you right where they're sitting or in their home. I pray, Father, they'd call out to you and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, believing that He died for them.